Simeon and salvation. Here's an old man that God saves as an old man. Or he was, well, I should say it this way. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We'll see this. But God always got a people. God has always got a people who have trusted Him. He's always had a remnant according to the election of grace. And it says here in verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." Here we have a very short biography. And you look at all the people that were involved in look at all the people here as I talk about Simeon's salvation. Look at all the people that was involved in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them, there's Zacharias. He was a high priest. He was a priest. And he was serving his course. And there's Elizabeth. Two old people. God gave him a child. And he was the forerunner of Christ. And then there's a poor woman, Mary. And here's Simon. And here's Mary. Here's Mary. And then here's Joseph. All these people that's involved, all of them had something distinct about them. And what made it distinct was what God done for them. But look at this man's biography. He says, "Behold, there was a man." Just a man. Nothing different in him and you and me. He's a man, son of Adam. But it tells us what his name was. His name was Simeon. Tells us what his name was, Simeon. And it says here, the same man was just and devout. The same man. Now when it says just here, just means righteous. Justified. Now this man was righteous and justified the same way all believers are righteous and justified. You know, he talked about trusting God's word. "Let me depart according to your word." Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He believed the word of God that Christ would be the light to lighten the Gentiles. And so he was righteous the same way Abraham was righteous. Abraham believed the promise. Abraham believed that God's going to send his son. And he looked forward to that promise. He looked forward to the time that Christ would come and Christ would be the Savior, the Mediator, the Messiah. And that's what Simeon was doing. He was waiting, looking for, believing that He was coming. And so he was justified. He was righteous in the sight of God. Not only was he just before God, but he was also just before men. I believe that I don't know what his station in life was. I don't know if he is wealthy. I don't know if he is poor. I don't know if he is a master. I don't know if he is a servant. I don't know if he is a teacher of religion. But he was a just man. He was a man who treated people justly. He didn't lie to them. He didn't steal from them. He treated them right. He treated them good. He treated them fairly. He treated them according to the Scriptures. So he was righteous before God. And he's like John said, "He that's born of God doeth righteousness even as he's righteous." So here's this man who is righteous before God. Here's this man who is just before God. Here's this man who looked forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says he was devout. Not only was he just, but he was devout. And that word devout means devoted. Devoted. He was very devout. Even he was devout toward God. You see, his life was given over to the one true God. He spent his life seeking God. Look how he talks to God and he says, "Lord, I've seen him. And now I've seen it. Now let me depart. I'm your servant. I'm your servant." His life was given over to the one true God. And you know, this is what Christianity is. Is being righteous in the sight of God through the righteousness of Christ. Not by any doings of our own. It's being righteous because Christ accomplished righteousness. And it's given over to us and given to us. And not only is His righteousness given to us, but His righteousness is worked in us. We become just in our dealings. We become just in our attitude toward people. We want to deal fairly. We want to be honest. We want to pay our just debt. We want to honor God by our lives. Not just by our perfection. Not just by saying, "I'm okay with God and it doesn't matter what I do or what I say or where I go." No, we want to be just and we want to lie. This is Christianity too. Devoted to God. Devoted to Christ. Given over to Him. And there's lots of people who are very, very devout. And yet they're not just. They're not righteous. Oh, how many people do you see that's devout? I saw a sinner today. Oh, it just aggravated me to no end. I saw a sinner today. And he had ashes on his forehead. Ash Wednesday. That's supposed to mean you mourn. You put ashes on you and you mourn. That's the way the Pharisees done. They disfigure their faces. They put on their phylacteries. And that's the most ridiculous thing you ever saw in your life. Put ashes on your head to show you mourning. God don't look on your head. He looks on your heart. Is your heart mourning over your sin? Is your heart mourning over your sinful nature? Is your heart mourning over your flesh? Is your heart mourning because of your lack of conformity to Christ? Is your heart mourning because you're not as devoted to God as you would be? Is your heart mourning because you've got this old miserable body you have to live in? And if you could, you'd crucify it. If you could, you'd pronounce death on it and never deal with it again. And there's lots of people, they're very devout, very... Oh, you hear people talking about, well, he's a devout man. But they're not just. And oh my, you've got to, if you're just and you're righteous in the sight of God, you will be devout. You will be devoted to God. And oh my, God enable us by His grace to have a biography like this. Just. May they say about this one of these days when they put us forever as a man. From Crossville, Tennessee, Cumberland County, Tennessee, he was a just man, righteous man. God made him righteous. And he was a devoted man. His life was given over to God. His life, he was given over to honoring God, living God. You know, if a man robs a man, he's called a criminal. He's called a thief. But a man can rob God of his glory. And rob God and lie on God. And say that God owes him things. And say that God's going to bless him because of how devoted a life he lives. And you know what they'll call him? A gentleman. A fine feller. But I'd rather be a criminal robbing somebody else as to be a criminal before God. Wouldn't you? That's the criminalest thing you can ever do is rob God. But notice what else that happened here now, that old Simeon. He was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oh my, now here's an old man now. He's no doubt he had that long beard and probably white. You know, all the old Jews, they wore those beards. And here's this man, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the one who's going to come and console and comfort and bring comfort to the Lord's people by accomplishing salvation. What a blessed position to be in. Waiting. And what a blessed thing to be waiting for, the consolation of Israel. Here, Eve waited when God said that you're going to have a son, and that son is going to be the seed of the woman, and I'm going to put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the serpent. And he said, you know, so she waited. And when Cain was born, she said, I've gotten the man from the Lord. He turned out to be a murderer. She waited. Abraham waited. God said, you know, I'm going to come and you're going to be the father of many nations, and through thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And he waited and waited and waited, and sure enough, here comes his son. And that's what he's doing. He's waiting for, just like Abraham waited, for the same son to come. For the promised seed to come. Jacob waited. Jacob waited 14 years. Just to have Rachel. To be married to Rachel. He loved her so. He waited and waited. And here's old Simeon. He's waiting. What are you waiting for, Simeon? Oh, God said He's going to send us a Savior. He's going to send us a Messiah. And oh, what consolation we're going to have. Oh, what glory is going to be to our heart and soul. God's going to send Him. And oh my, Moses waited 40 years on the backside of the desert. And David waited for some God to raise up someone to sit upon his throne. And here he is. Here he is. And let's look over here at Hebrews 11. Just a minute. Hebrews 11. Look here in Hebrews 11. These are people who waited and waited and waited and waited. And they were all waiting for Christ to come. We look back to Christ coming. They look forward to Christ coming. Hebrews 11:13. Oh, they waited. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. And that's what Simeon's going to get today. He is going to receive the promise. He gets to see the promise fulfilled. And there, beloved, watch else, he says, but having seen them afar off, how did they see them? They saw them in the shadows, saw them in the types, saw them in the tabernacle, saw them in all the sacrifices. They saw afar off. Abraham waited 25 years before he had Isaac. That's after God told him. And he died knowing that through Isaac would come another son, through Jacob, but his grandson would be another son, and another son, and another son, and another son, and another son, until the Lord Jesus Christ would come, born of Mary. And that's what they kept. Oh, they saw him way, way out there. Huh? And oh my, when they saw him even afar, those promises persuaded them, convinced them. So what they done, they said, oh my, I want them to be mine. I'm going to take them to my heart. I'm going to embrace them and take them to myself. And when they done that, they said, you know, all we are down here, strangers and pilgrims. This world's not our home. And I get to go be with him someday. So that's what they, and so that's what he's doing. He's waiting. And that's what they did. They waited. And then look what it says again over here in our text. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Oh my, he had the communion of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And oh my, that means that the Holy Ghost came upon him in a special way here. And look what happened. How in the world did he know there was a Savior coming? Huh? It says in verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he shouldn't even die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He's an old man, so he's going to have to get here pretty soon. And that's right. We're going to be old one of these days, and we're going to be like Simeon. We're going to be waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And one of us is going to be real old one of these days, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Say, Lord, if you're coming, you're going to have to come pretty soon because I'm getting old. And sure enough, one of these days he's going to split that eastern sky. And we're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And oh my, and how did he know? How did he know the Lord Jesus Christ when he saw him? It says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Huh? How did he know him when he saw him? Well, he brought in this child. Huh? How did he know? How was he in the right place at the right time? How's he going to tell the difference between one infant and another infant? How's he going to know which one's the Christ and which one's not? The only way, the same way we know it, the same way we know Christ, the same way Christ has been made known. You know why people come here to hear the gospel? The Spirit leads them. And the Spirit led him into the temple. If the Holy Ghost on you and comes upon you, he's going to lead you to Christ and where Christ is, and he's going to make you see Christ. Is that not right? And oh my. And the parents brought in the child for to do to him after the custom of the law. How in the world? This is the one that the Scripture said in Malachi 3:1. Said that the messenger of the covenant shall come suddenly to his temple. And here he is. He's suddenly in his temple. And oh, what a biography here. What a story about a man. A man. And he's in Jerusalem. His name is Simeon. He's just in devout. And he's waiting. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And beloved, I'll tell you, no man will ever find the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody will ever know him. They won't know when he's present. But by the Holy Spirit. Ain't that right? Even tonight, you wouldn't know he's present without the Holy Spirit. We would not enjoy His presence when it came without the Holy Spirit. And there's people that come all the time that hear the preaching and end in the service, but they never see Christ. They never know Christ because the Holy Ghost ain't come upon them. The Holy Ghost hasn't brought them to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how did Simon get the right place? How did he know the infant? How did he know that? How many other old men were in the temple that day? How many? I mean, the temple. You got to think about Solomon's temple. This thing is huge. Got all these gates. Got all these big pillars. And there's certain places that certain people are supposed to be. And how many people do you think old men were in that temple that day? Look at that wailing wall over in Jerusalem where them Jews go there and stand there and pray at that wailing wall all the time. Stick their prayers into the cracks of that. You can't count them. How many of them's old? Well, that's the way it was. How many old men? And they were going to and fro. Why didn't they see anything? Why didn't they see the Christ? Why didn't they know that the Messiah was in that temple? All they saw going around there was just another woman. Another poor woman. And saw her poor husband. And saw them with an offering of 2 turtle doves. Or 2 pigeons. Making an offering there to redeem their firstborn. But old Simeon, he saw something else. He saw something that nobody else in that room saw but one other person. Huh? Oh! And oh, can you imagine how he felt when his eyes fell on that little baby? Can you imagine how his heart felt? He said he was waiting for the consolation of Israel when his eyes fell on that 8-day-old baby. Fell on that infant there in his, I don't know if it's in his mother's arms or his daddy's arms. But when he saw him, can you imagine what his heart felt like? This is it. The Holy Ghost said, this is him. This is him. But oh, beloved, look there in verse 29. In verse 28, then took him up in his arms. He had to take him out of his mom and daddy's arms. Or out of a priest's arm. Maybe the priest had him in his arms. I don't know. Then he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Oh my, when you take up the Lord Jesus Christ and you see Him, it's time to bless God. It's a wonderful thing. That's when we start really blessing God and praising His holy name. And then look what he said. He saw just an infant. But oh, what did he see in that infant? And look what he says now. For mine eyes, verse 30, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh my. And this is not, you know, we say the Lord Jesus is salvation. That's not just religious rhetoric. That's not religious rhetoric. That's why the angels sing out, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And in fact, I'm going to say this, He's more than a Savior. He is salvation itself. If you have Him, you have everything that God requires. If you don't have Him, you have absolutely nothing. If you have Him, you have life. If you have Him, you have righteousness. If you have Him, you have acceptance. If you have Him, you have forgiveness. If you have Him, you have perfection. If you have Him, you have everything that God could ever require of you or me. That's why we say He is salvation. That's why Moses sung in that song after they got through the Red Sea. He also hath become my salvation. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Isaiah cried out, said, behold, God is my salvation. Now, beloved, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see salvation in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. To see salvation in His Word. To see salvation in His death. But the very essence of salvation is His person itself. And that's why it says, then took He, Him. That's what He told that thief on the cross. Today you shall be with Me. I'll come and take you to be where I am. That's what salvation is to have Christ, to be with Christ. And He took Him up. Him, a person. Not a doctrine. Not just a head full of knowledge. He took up a person. And oh my, in his arms. And he says, now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And let me tell you something. This was before our Lord ever taught a word. This was before our Lord ever preached. This was before our Lord ever suffered for any sins whatsoever. And as an infant, he was God's salvation. In fact, I'll tell you this. He was God's salvation before he became into this world. Before he became the son of Mary. Before he became an eight-day-old infant. And he's still God's salvation. And he's my salvation. Huh? Oh, you see, everything about our Lord is saving. Everything about him is saving. Everything he did is saving. But he himself is salvation. You see, his teaching, his example, his love, his tenderness, his suffering, his glory, all of those we look to and we enjoy and we bless God. But it's his own glorious self that puts efficacy into what he done. If he wasn't who he was, would we believe his teaching? If he wasn't who he was, God manifested in the flesh. If it wasn't for his purpose, what would his death on the cross accomplish? Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, it's who he is that gives virtue to what he does. You see, it's who I am that messes up everything I do. Being a sinner, I have nothing I can do without having seen it. But Christ, being sinless, being holy, being God manifest in the flesh, he can't sin. So everything he does has virtue in it. And what gives it the virtue? His person. What not takes the virtue away anything that I do? Because of my person. Because of my person. And you know our Lord Jesus, you know what he said? He doesn't say, come to my work. But he says, come to me. Come to me. And oh my, he's the only salvation. When Simeon picked him up, he says, mine eyes, mine eyes. And that's what you got to do. You got to see this for yourself. He didn't see it for anybody else in that temple that day, did he, Steve? He didn't see it for his wife. Didn't see it for his kids. Didn't see it for his neighbors. He saw it for himself. Mine eyes. That, this is something, that's a mysterious thing. Two people sit side by side, one will see and the other won't. And here's all these people in this temple today, and he's the only one other than Anna that saw it. We'll get to Anna in a couple of weeks. She's down about three or four verses. But anyway, Simeon had never found another. Here's a man that the Scripture says just and devout. And if anyone could have seen salvation by the law, surely he could have. But he didn't see it. And he had this glorious character, just and devout. But he didn't look to his own character for salvation. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Simon, with all of his character, he would say, I'm not going to look to my character. I'm going to look to this child that I'm looking at. Oh no, he wasn't looking for a salvation he already found. Because if he had already found it, he would have said, would have said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What old Simeon is saying here, it's not in me. It's not in this, what I am, and it's not what I've done. It's not in the law. It's here in this baby. It's not in this temple. It's in this baby. It's in this infant. I found my salvation, the salvation of the Lord, right here. Huh? And you know Simeon was familiar with the temple. He was familiar with the courts of the Lord's house, and he saw sacrifices. He saw sacrifices every day. They offered the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. He was there when they was offered sacrifices this day. He saw the feast. He saw the high and the holy days and partook of them. But in these, in the temple sacrifices, in the day, the morning and evening sacrifices, he never saw salvation. Never saw them in that. No, no. He never, over a lamb sacrificed in the morning, did he say, I see salvation in that. He never once said, when he took the Passover supper, and offered the Passover, did he say, I see salvation in this Passover? When did he say, mine eyes have seen salvation? When he took the Lord Jesus in his arms. Look over here. I want you to see this. I'll hurry up. I will. I'll get on through it. I will. Look in Isaiah 12 with me just a minute. You know, he proclaimed and he said, here's my salvation. I see it. I see it with my own eyes and not for another. He's like Job. I shall see my Redeemer with my own eyes and not with another. Not for another. Mine own eyes shall behold him in the latter days. And here it says in Isaiah 12 and verse 2. This is what Isaiah says, and this is what Simeon is saying. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. My salvation. And then back over here in this text, he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And in verse 31, which thou hast prepared. You prepared this salvation. You prepared it. I didn't prepare it. All I brought was me and my sinful self. But there it was. It was prepared. When did God prepare salvation? Before the foundation of the world. And he prepared it for a particular people before the foundation of the world. And that's what he says. You prepared it. It was predestinated. It was purposed. It was, and this salvation is called God's salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. And then he says not only that, but he says which you have prepared before the face of all people. Now when he says you're all people, before salvation was of the Jews. Now he says before the face of all people. In the presence of the whole world. You know, he sent Christ forth publicly, right, and everybody to see, everybody to know. Christ came for salvation for all kinds of people. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, Africans and whites, Chinese and Italians. It don't make any difference. He got an elect out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And so this was that salvation that he prepared, that he had promised. Look what else he says here now. A light to lighten the Gentiles. This is what he prepared it for. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And I want you to notice it says next, and the glory of thy people Israel. He puts the Gentiles here before he puts Israel. You know, it's first to the Jew and then also to the Gentile. He puts the Gentiles here first. Simon Peter done exactly the same thing in Acts 15. He says, God will save us just exactly like he saved them Gentiles. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put the Gentiles before he did himself. If we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved like God saved them Gentiles. And he is the light. He was given as a covenant for the light of the Gentiles. You can read that in Isaiah. But oh my, he brought light. We was in darkness. We were in pagan darkness. Oh, the unbelievable darkness we were in. But he is the light. And when he brought light, you know what light does? It makes manifest what you couldn't see before. Don't it? It makes manifest what you could see. When he come as the light, he made manifest just how dark how dark our minds were. How sinful we were. How rebellious we were. And when he turned on the light, we saw things we never saw before. And that's what light does. It manifests what you couldn't see before. And that's why he says, I'm the light of the world, and he that walketh with me or followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And John said it this way, as he is in the light, we walk in the light. We walk in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then look what it says, that he's the glory of thy people Israel. He's the glory of thy people Israel. Oh my, he is the glory, not only of natural Israel, but spiritual Israel. He's the glory of God. And he's the glory. That's the one that we're all the glory in. And what, why is he, you know, here he says the glory of Israel. But, you know, Abraham, all the Jews kept waiting for the Messiah to come. Waiting for him to come. And when he come, he's supposed to, they're all looking for him. And he was the glory of Israel. And this 8-day-old infant there this day. And what made it this glory of Israel? He was the one that Abraham, the promised seed of Abraham, and they had such glory and such hope in that promise. And there was such glory contained in that promise. And oh my, and then he was the glory of Israel because he is the one to whom all the covenants made, who fulfilled all the covenants. And he's the glory of Israel because he was David's son. He was David's son. He was the king with his throne. He is the glory of Israel because the Savior of the world was to come out of the Jewish nation. He is to have one born of a Jewish woman. And he would be born of a virgin. And so here's the glory of Israel that comes through this little tiny nation. Despised and hated and rejected, but out of this nation, in a little bitty place called Bethlehem, the Savior of the world would come forth from a people that was insignificant, that was under Roman bondage at the time. And that who would ever dream and think that the one that would come from that Jewish mama's womb, that would come from that Jewish, that root out of a dry ground, Israel, that he would be the very one that his blood would make an atonement for sin once and for all who were given to him in that covenant. Simon knew it and took him up in his arms and says, "Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace." I'm ready to go. You told me I could go after I saw him. You told me I could put off this earthly tabernacle and put on that heavenly tabernacle. Oh my. And one of these days, our Lord told Pilate and told all those Jews when they had him in there putting him on trial. They said, "I doubt the Christ." He said, "You'll see when you see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory." And they ripped their clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? This man blasphemes." But oh my, wait till they see him coming in his glory that next time when the heavens split like the lightning from the east to the west and the heavens open up and there he comes with 10,000 angels behind him and glory shining brighter than the sun has ever shone. And every eye shall behold him. Everyone shall see him, even the ones that pierced him. Then they'll say, "Oh my, you mean we blasphemed that?" Well, look what his mom and daddy says about them. And I thought about this myself today. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And then Simeon goes on and says some other things we'll deal with next week. But they marveled. Can you imagine that they watch an old man come up and pick up that baby and say, "Oh, Lord." And he starts prophesying about it. Telling the scriptures being fulfilled in him. "This is my salvation." Mary and Joseph stand there. Salvation. You know, they kept all these things. They marveled at it. And I'll tell you something. I marvel at it too. I marvel at it too. I'm just like Joseph and Mary. I marvel at what Simeon said. I marvel at the Lord Jesus Christ. I marvel that he's the salvation of God. I marvel that he's my salvation. I marvel that I've ever seen him. I marvel that the Holy Ghost made me to know him. Oh, I marvel. Our Father, oh, blessed be your name for allowing us this privilege to speak about your blessed Son, your salvation, our salvation, full salvation, complete and perfect. Thank you for him. Thank you for his coming. Thank you for the way you see him. And, oh Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. We thank you, oh Lord God, for your unspeakable gift. We bless you for it. Bless these dear saints as they go to their jobs, their homes, and their lives. Meet every need. Save your people in this place. Save your people in this place. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.